Wild at home. It's a sure win, right? Sherwin Williams.
Punch me in the face, please.
My Lord.
I'm trying to go deep here.
Yo doesn't have a doghouse. He has a left winger next to Koivu.
The finished conspiracy.
Booga booga, i.e. poopy diapers.
He can't score the puck if he can't shoot the goal.
It's been known to the state of California to cause cancers.
Well, this is the fanciest setup I've ever seen for a goddamn podcast with 50 listeners.
It's a love affair.
Welcome to episode 59 of Three in the Box, your all-star starting Minnesota Wild podcast. This episode is being recorded Sunday, January 25th, 2015. This is Aaron, and in this week's episode, we talk about Dubnyk's Encore, outdoor games, and the All-Star Game. In the studio with me is Kenny.
Yo.
And Jive.
Good evening.
So, how was your guys' wildless week here?
It's good. It's a good week.
Not too bad.
Yeah. Liking the weather around here.
Things are melting finally. Yeah.
Well, not my yard, because with all the construction workers driving through, it all melted and now it's turned into ice.
So you were actually getting the perfect world then, because you're getting the skating rink that you've wanted.
Yeah, in a side yard covered with, you know, some sawdust. That works great.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
That helps.
It's like you get to skate and you get a soft landing.
Yeah,
sort of.
Cushions the fall.
Right.
If there's enough sawdust.
If there's enough sawdust.
Or starts a fire randomly.
To melt and refreeze the ice.
Sure.
Yes.
Hey, like resurfacing, like a Zamboni.
Okay.
Hey, you might be onto something here.
We'll just start covering all the rinks with sawdust and lighting them on fire in between periods.
Why do the Zambonis, why do they lay down a, you know, a new coating of ice over it? Why not just heat it up and smooth it out?
Well, they do. That's actually what it does.
No.
Or I thought you were gonna say, why don't they just put sawdust down? And I was like, you know, like they're gerbils or something.
Well,
you know?
That's what they might as well do in the crease for the goalies, because they just chew it up right away anyways, right?
And they try to, you know, make a nice little border around the crease.
But, well, I'd give a new term, new meaning to the word barn.
That's true. Just hope, Backstrom doesn't pee all over the place and... like gerbils.
So who's going to pop the first squat then?
This podcast is already going horribly wrong.
This is what happens when you watch the All-Star Game before the podcast. Things go awry.
And you have to take a drink every time a goal is scored.
Ooh.
We're only 30 in, so.
Next year.
Well, before we go any further.
This podcast is brought to you by Jim, Johnny, and Jack.
Before we get too far into this nonsense here, I'd just like to remind you, follow us on Twitter. We're at 3 in the box. That is at number 3 in the box. So let's talk real hockey.
So, well, a streak for a streak. After a short 2-game winning streak that we discussed last week, the Wild followed that up with a 2-game losing streak.
Wah, wah.
Yeah. Falling 3-1 to the Blue Jackets and then an overtime loss in Detroit. Both were close games, though, you know, the Wild kind of found themselves down big early against Detroit. Dubnyk letting in 4 out of the 10 shots that he faced there.
He was prepping us for the All-Star game.
That was in the first period. But the Wild did manage to mount a comeback there and made things a little bit interesting, but they still eventually lost in the shootout. Needless to say, we're once again we're riding a winless streak here as we headed into the All-Star break. So that said, Kemper did. He came in and he saved 14 out of 14 shots in his relief effort against Detroit. Not a bad outing for him. I don't think we've seen his save percentage that high for quite some time now.
Right.
Do you think he's feeling any pressure to perform at this point now?
Well, he's got to be. I mean, but at the same point, you know, looking at Dubnyk's performance earlier in the game, he let in one goal that was definitely on him, but two of the other goals were deflections, and deflections really close to the goal. So it's like, it's tough to pin those on him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the other one was a power play goal.
Well, and one of the ones that Dubnyk let in was a deflection off of his own defenseman. Was that Prosser?
I believe it was a Prosser, yeah. So it's, you know, Dubnyk kind of got screwed there. And
he got the short end of the stick.
Right. And, but, you know, to Kemper's credit, he came in and, you know, shut the door. Yeah, so
he didn't let anything
by. He had a couple of pretty good saves, too.
Right.
And I think that's, in the end, that's what we're really looking for here. We need somebody that's going to stand out and make some, you know, flashy saves and save right. our butt in a couple of places where maybe the defense isn't holding up its end of the bargain.
Well, you know, and there's got to be also something said that it was his second game of, you know, two nights in a row.
Yeah.
And while you would hope he could handle it, you know, sometimes, you know, we know how tough his travel was getting here. Right. And he's been playing straight.
Yeah.
So maybe he was just getting worn out. I don't know. But I still go back to it wasn't really a whole lot of his fault aside from that first goal.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So that said, I mean, like I said, we need somebody who shows a little bit of flashiness and makes some big saves for us. Do we actually have a number one goalie at this point? Or is this just going to kind of be a goalie by committee thing that we have going on here?
I think we have three number two goalies, and adding them up to six is definitely not a better number than one in this standpoint.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think both Dubnyk and Kemper could be number one goalies. I have a feeling they're just going to be it's going to be the Yo's typical way of handling goalies and just cycle them while they're hot. Mm-hmm. Kemper had a good game, so if I'm a bet man, I'm going to say he's going to be starting coming
Kemper
out of
will be in the next game.
Yeah. You know, and then when he fails, then Dubnyk will come in. You know, yeah. I Backstrom is definitely the odd man out here because Backstrom hasn't had a good game in a long time, and I don't know if Yo is going to be willing to put the season and potentially his career in Minnesota on the line.
Yeah. The patience has got to be wearing thin.
Right. I mean, I don't think he's lost the faith of Fletcher or
Leopold.
But, you know, if you're losing, even though I don't think it's Yo's fault, it's going to be tough to
blame's got to go somewhere.
Blame's right. got to go somewhere.
And you don't want it to go to your million-dollar prima donnas.
Right,
so.
And it's pretty tough to replace an entire team. You know, it's a little bit easier to replace one or two pieces of the puzzle.
Right, right.
And I mean, that said, I mean, with these losing ways continuing, I mean, is there still time for us to pull off a playoff appearance? Or, I mean, at this point, do we just pack it in and start building for next year?
Well, I mean, right now, you got to look at, you know, who's above us. You know, the Flames, I think they're number 8 seed right now in the West, if you look at the West. They've got a 564 winning percentage. So if you assume that they keep the same pace that they've had, that means they're going to be right around 92 points at the end of the season. And so if we need to pass them, we need to get more than 92 points. While they're at 46 points right now, we got 36 games left. 92 minus 46 is another 46. So we need another 46 points just to be on the cusp.
Right.
And 46 points in 36 games, that's doable. I mean, that's a 20-10-6 record.
Yeah.
However, if they lose to teams that are above them, they're going to have a really tough time making any ground up.
Yeah, you got to start winning some of those big games against our people, you know, inside of our conference.
And the ones we're looking to leapfrog, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, I know we got some games coming up against, like, Calgary that are going to be really kind of must wins.
Yeah.
Well, and Vancouver's only sitting 2 points above Calgary right now, so even a win against Vancouver is going to be huge for the Wild.
I mean, I don't know that winning against, you know, say the Blackhawks or Nashville are going to be nearly as important because we're not going to be catching them.
More than likely not.
So a loss to them getting extra points isn't really going to hurt our chances.
But it's still not gaining the points.
It's still not getting the wins, but it's not losing against the Flames, the Canucks, all those teams that are 6, 7, and 8 teams that we need to jump. We need to beat those teams, and we need to beat them soundly.
With the expectations, though, that were set at the beginning of the year, I really think that we do need to start winning some of those games against the Blackhawks of the league. If we aren't going to win those, we're just, I mean, why make the playoffs then anyways?
True.
Just to go out in the first round again?
Well, I mean, in Chicago and St. Louis are both sitting at 62 points, and that's the lowest in our division right now. So if we want anything other than a wild card, we do have to beat Chicago and St. Louis, and
we're not going to have anything other than a wild card, though. I mean,
we got to sneak in at this point.
Right. That's all. I mean, we'd have to basically win out to even have a chance. And there's no way in hell that's happening. We got to be happy with a wild card, and we got to hope that we get some help because those teams need to lose beyond just losing to us. There's a lot of things that need to fall into place for the Wild to have a chance to make the playoffs at this point. I think they can do it.
It is a long season. I mean, just as the Wild have had a little slump here. Because, I mean, if you think back previous to December, we were well above 500 at that point.
Right.
I mean, we had a decent record. And, I mean, we were, you know, right there with everybody else.
Yeah.
Looking for that. But, I mean, that said, we had a period there where we were struggling. And I'm not convinced that we're out of that yet.
Right.
I'm hoping that some things will start to turn around. I mean, even the games that they lost last week, I don't think that, you know, at any point, I mean, I guess that first period against Detroit was, you know, anytime you lose, you give up four goals in the first period, it doesn't look good. But they did, you know, mount a comeback in that right. game, which that showed me a lot. And that goes back to, I think, something that you talked about, Aaron, in the beginning of the year, that, like, you loved watching it because, like, you could never count the Wild out. Even if they went down a couple goals,
right?
You know, even if they're down a couple in the third period, you know that there's still a chance that they're going to net a couple and come back.
And, you know, that's really a credit to Yo and Yo's system.
Yeah,
I mean, look at the Lemaire days. Granted, we didn't have talent either.
Right.
But there's no way they're scoring three goals in the third period.
Yeah.
No way in hell. So I agree that, I agree with myself. it is good to see them be able to do that.
Yeah.
But we need to, you know, back to your point, we need to beat the teams that we need to beat.
Yep.
And with losing to teams like Calgary and Vancouver, it's going to be tough.
Yep. Because this is the state of hockey, is that right?
Yes, it is. Which, yeah, with that, the state of hockey finally gets an outdoor NHL game. It was announced earlier this week that the Wild will be playing the Blackhawks next year in a Stadium Series game February 21st of next year at TCF Stadium. Of note, Colorado is also given a Stadium Series game next year too, and this will be Chicago's fourth outdoor game, including the Winter Classic against Washington this year. So, you know, Wild finally get one. But with that, there's a lot of talk about with the surrounding events. So first, Leopold had previously turned down a Stadium Series and turned down the Wild playing as a visitor in a Winter Classic with the hopes to get the Winter Classic right away, to host the Winter Classic right away. Obviously, we all would have had preferred a Winter Classic right off the bat, but now he says he'll take the Stadium Series as long as, you know, it is en route to hosting a Winter Classic.
Right.
Was he right to turn down the previous offers?
Well, I think he definitely was right to turn down the Wild playing the Caps in Washington. I mean,
I don't know. Was that? I couldn't find. I thought I had heard that, but I couldn't find any sustainable evidence towards it.
I'm pretty sure that Russo had posted something about that.
I thought I had seen that too.
And so that was a smart one to turn down because, one, there's no rivalry between the Capitals. I think the Wild and the Capitals have played each other, what, 9 times, maybe?
Yeah.
So that would be a really stupid. And plus, it'd be kind of an insult to have a game in Washington versus Minnesota when Minnesota can actually have an outdoor game without the aid of refrigeration trucks.
Right.
I mean, they're still going to be there. The trucks.
Oh, sure. But we actually have the capability of doing it naturally. You know, it's just a dicier proposition doing it that way. As far as, you know, the whole stadium series, I mean, I guess you take what you get, what you're given, but I don't know. I'm not super excited about it, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, the stadium series, I think that it's a good thing to finally bring some sort of outdoor hockey here. You know,
on an NHL pro level.
Yeah, pro level to Minnesota. I mean, I heard about
pond hockey is in pro level.
Right. I think I heard about Parise tweeting that, you know, it's, you know, well, long overdue that something like this comes.
Right.
That, I mean, because it is hockey here. That's, you know, that outdoor hockey.
Hockey fans are special.
But that said, you know, turning it down, that's kind of a business decision. I guess in the thought of it, I guess you have to consider what he felt that was going to be given. Like, if he felt,
what does he get out of that?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
What I mean, how much of the gates is he going to get? How much he's not going to see much of, you know, aside from the Wild playing on a national stage.
Yeah,
he's not going to get a ton out of that.
Right.
I don't think not lasting any lasting value.
No, as I understand it, it's like the teams basically get compensated basically what they would have gotten at their home stadium if they're the team or whatever. So I don't think that it's not like it's going to be a big draw for him.
Right.
So, yeah.
I don't know. What do you think, Kenny?
I agree with turning down the Winter Classic as a visiting team because, I mean, you know, the Winter Classic alone does get rave TV reviews every year. The ratings have been great.
Mm-hmm.
I think throwing Minnesota even against the visiting team would have upped the watching quite a bit because I think you'd have had pretty much the entire state with their eyes glued to the TV New Year's Day.
Right.
I mean, without a doubt. But no, I definitely think the Wild should be hosting an outdoor game before even contemplating being a visitor anywhere else. Obviously, you know, Winter Classic isn't going to be coming here until, you know, the Wild can show what they can do with the stadium series. So right. I baby steps, I guess. But I would definitely prefer, you know, or can't wait to see a Winter Classic here.
Well, I almost wonder if having the stadium series actually hurts the Wild's chance of ever getting a Winter Classic. It seems that Bettman and et al. Are more than happy to send the Classic back to a place that's already had one.
All of Boston next year?
Right. I mean, they're not doing it in Boston. They're doing it at Foxborough.
Yeah.
So it's in Massachusetts still.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling that he'll go, okay, the fans there are pacified now. Now we can go back to Chicago and we can do Detroit again. We can do New York again and just repeat those same cities over and over again, the big markets, with us just being happy for table scraps. And frankly, it's kind of insulting, I think. But I think that's what their thought is, honestly.
Well, and as much as we like to rag on Bettman, and I'm sure he's a big part of it, NBC is also a huge part of this, too, because, you know, they don't want to give up their prime time for a Midwest flyover city.
For you, it always comes back to Pierre, doesn't it?
Yes. That's blow hard, not blow over. So the Wild are going to be playing Chicago. You know, the NHL originally wanted to have Dallas come up and play the Wild, but Leopold, again, had turned down Dallas in favor of Chicago, making it Chicago's now, it will be their fourth outdoor game. Who would you guys prefer to see?
At this point, I would actually prefer to see Dallas, as I think that we would have a better chance of winning that game. But that said, I do like the matchup of the Wild going against Chicago. Really, I would love to bring that rivalry back, basically.
I would have loved to see us play Colorado and have a home and home.
Oh,
outdoor game series.
Week to week? That would be pretty awesome.
That would be pretty awesome,
yeah.
And plus, then it would balance out things because, you know, they couldn't argue that they had, you know, the home ice advantage Mm-hmm. And neither could we. You know, it would be very even that way.
Well, if they're playing outdoors in Colorado, are the pucks lighter? Do they have to soak them like they do the baseballs?
Right. They start storing the pucks in a humidor.
I mean, we've already seen Suter on a like knock a puck up over the glass on a power play.
Are they deflating the pucks?
but if my choices are Dallas or Chicago, you know, I'm gonna go with Chicago. Honestly, I don't think Dallas fans give a damn about Minnesota. That's a one-way rivalry,
right?
So I'll go with Chicago.
I don't even know if I'd call that a rivalry, more of a one-way hatred.
Right, yeah. Right.
And the other thing, you bring Chicago in here, they're, you know, pretty much regional to us. So you're going to get some people coming up from Chicago.
Which is kind of a bummer because that's going to take away our tickets. Yeah. I mean,
or skyrocket the ticket prices.
we're going to have a lot of tickets, though, so...
Yeah.
But you could fill that entire stadium with just Minnesota fans.
Oh yeah, it'll be full. So,
but that said, I mean, it'll bring the regional type. You know,
it will, and I do like the fact of we are kind of starting to get a rivalry with Chicago now, being knocked out 2 years in a row in the playoffs by them.
So is it a rivalry, or are we just like an ant that keeps coming back and trying to...
Kind of like the Twins, you know? And the Yankees, yeah. You know? Oh, you guys again. Well, sorry.
We'll step on
well,
you.
Well, I mean, I guess it's a bigger rivalry than Philly, but...
Right.
You know, I don't know. Maybe this old flame could come back with the Blackhawks from the old North Stars days, being that it is two regional teams and... I mean, if keep facing each other and going at each other like this, it might be a good thing for to start building up that rivalry again. I mean,
if we can beat them in the playoffs, that changes everything. I think
absolutely.
That's a big if at this point, but oh, yeah. You know,
Although I still would have liked to have seen the old Minnesota versus the current Minnesota, just for a nostalgic feel. But
yeah, but we both can't wear North Stars jerseys on the ice.
No, we can't. So,
old Minnesota against the new Minnesota.
Which brings up an interesting question then. I mean, you know, Aaron, I think you had shown us some concept uniforms that were brought up. There was one that had a nice twist of the old and the new built right into it.
Right.
Do you think Dallas will let them use the old North Stars logo?
Well, and that's the thing is that it seems like for the stadium series, they actually use like basically like really basic jerseys with chrome, a chromed out logo.
Oh, yeah, this isn't the Winter Classic.
So if we had a Winter Classic, I don't know. Would we use a North Stars jersey? Would we use like an old, you know, Gophers jersey or something? I don't know, because we don't have classic jerseys for the Wild.
How long does it have to be before they're classic?
Are you talking about like the full green bodysuit uniforms?
Well, I don't know.
With the Wild logo on them that are... just kind of
looks
terrible.
Like the original
Christmas tree ones. Yeah that,
when they first came out, yeah.
those are classic now.
2000,
you know, you do bring up a good right? point though. I mean, is all the ones that, because it wasn't a Coors Light that sponsored the stadium series,
right.
So it was the silver on
ride
everything.
The silver bullet.
Great. So all right, TCF Stadium is now official, but they were going back and forth between TCF and Target Field. I feel we have brought this up before in a what-if scenario, where would they play? So now that we actually know where they're going to be playing at, what do you feel are some of the advantages, disadvantages of either or?
Right. I think TCF, I mean, just the shape makes sense.
Yes.
And honestly, I mean, I look at the games that they've had at baseball stadiums, and it looks terrible to watch a game there.
Yeah, there's a lot of open space out there.
Right. And I'm sure the league loves it because they can have their crappy bands play out in the infield and, you know, and they have these grandiose entrances and stuff like that. But it's got to be terrible to watch. And being that we're hopefully going to be able to attend.
Oh, we will be attending.
I don't want to sit in a baseball stadium and watch a hockey game.
Well, and that said, I mean, sitting in a baseball stadium or sitting in a football stadium, a football is a lot larger than a hockey puck.
Right.
You know, how much of the action are you really going to be able to see from up there in the stands? If you end up in one of those nosebleed seats way up at the top, you're not there to see the game.
Right. You're there for the experience and the environment.
Well, apparently they must have already kind of figured out where they would have put it at Target Field. And from what I had read is that the sight lines at Target Field were actually going to be better than TCF Stadium. And maybe it's because of how it's built up, where it's more it's not going back as far, where it's more stacked on top of each other.
Sure.
So if you had to put the rink closer to where like the infield, I could possibly see that.
And that's a
better advantage.
And that is a problem because anyone on the lower bowl might not be able to see the puck for a majority of the game because of the way the boards are set up.
Which has been an issue with past outdoor games that have been held in football.
They need to
stadiums.
Check on the clear boards, see if those are still available from the Gophers Civic Center. Yeah.
Well, didn't they do that last year with the outdoor Gophers game? I thought they had clear boards.
I didn't think so, but don't quote me on that.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, it wasn't them. There was another outdoor game, though, that they had clear boards for.
I mean, clear boards would solve a lot of problems right there.
It also create quite a bit, especially if you're surrounded by snow.
Well, right. It'd be very fun to watch, though.
I agree.
And both teams are playing with these clear board would be playing with a clear board, so it's not like one team has the advantage over the other.
Right.
I think the real problem would be is anything that's going on in the perimeter would be probably very distracting to the players if they're trying to watch the puck.
Oh, man.
I know.
Could you imagine if they start putting those in NHL stadiums and you know how you could distract them? You know,
you buy
can't
a bunch
see
of
my hand motions here, but
you go to the pro shop and buy a bunch of pucks and just start moving them around.
Yeah. Just start throwing them at the boards.
Yeah. They're like, "Whoa, what was that?"
Ooh, we could maybe do that now.
Yeah. If you want to get kicked out, probably.
it's like the old fashioned laser beam.
Right, except more annoying.
Yeah. I guess one of the other things with TCF over Target was Target Field was not as winterized as TCF.
Right.
I have...
Or the Wild would have to pay to re-winterize it.
Right.
After it was over.
I went to a Twins game with my niece early in the season this year, and we had a winter that lasted... pretty long. And we were sitting in the far upper deck, and I think it was like maybe mid-40s, but when that wind kicked, I had layers on. My feet were numb by the time I got done. Right. And I mean, we're talking like mid-40s at that point, and there is not really a spot to warm up in there. I mean, there's like heaters every like 5 sections down, and you already have like 6 dozen people huddled underneath them.
You know, another thing, going back to you, your comment about going for the experience.
Yeah.
And another thing I've heard is that, you know, when you're at these games, unlike when you're at the X, where you hear stuff going on the ice, you're so far away.
You don't even hear the
hockey. So you're just like, you're watching it. You can't hear it. You can barely even see it, depending on where you're sitting.
And depending on who you are, you know. If you're me, you're not going to see a thing.
Right.
Bring binoculars.
Binoculars, right.
Well, that just actually makes me go back and go, do I really even want to attend this game?
Right.
You know,
would you be better off watching on TV?
Right. I mean, because I'm sure tickets will not be cheap.
No.
You know, are they going to charge normal NHL game, you know, $80 a pop?
I doubt it.
Mom, Dad, if you're listening, birthday, Christmas, Hanukkah, all rolled into one. I just need one ticket. I can go solo.
Wow.
So other events, you know, they're looking at potentially turning this into like a hockey week, Minnesota. And basically moving Hockey Day, that's normally mid-January, because we just had it last weekend, 2 weekends ago, last weekend.
Yeah, last weekend.
Yep.
Doing it the week before and incorporating, you know, some multiple high school games, possibly a Gophers game there.
Well, at that point, I mean, the high school, they're getting into their playoffs at that point. Because heading into March, I mean, they might not quite be at their playoff
But it's going to be like games that are important.
Right.
Yes, it will be. So,
I mean, that could be, you know, potentially a good draw there.
So, they're going to do an alumni game like they do at, I guess, all of them. But there's, I guess, a ton of ex-Minnesota or Minnesota relation, like either players that were born in Minnesota or played for Minnesota, whether it was the North Stars or the Wild, that are already willing to play, including Brian Rolston, who said he was definitely committed to it. You know, what other events would you guys want to go see? You know, being that we're going to have a rink here for obviously more than just one game.
Well, that's I don't know what the whole experience for these stadium series is like, but I mean, I know it's not on the same level, but like when a town gets like the Super Bowl coming to town, the Super Bowl is the main spectacle, but you know, there's so much other stuff that's going on throughout the week, different events and you know, expos, you know,
with
old memorabilia, Hall of Fame type stuff. I mean,
covering downtown in a red carpet for the MLB All-Star Game and not letting anybody across Nicollet for like most of it.
Right. I mean, things get to be like that. It becomes an entire spectacle.
Pain in the ass. Driving
more than just the game.
Right.
So I definitely expect to see some other events, I guess, surrounded around this. I mean, if they can make it a Hockey Week Minnesota over all of this, I mean, that I totally see that. And we need to be bringing down. I mean, we've also got the Hockey Hall of Fame here.
Right. In U.S. Minnesota. U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame.
The U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. Yeah. That's fine. But I don't all see right. why
they
that couldn't
trip to Iron Range.
Well, or they travel some stuff here, basically, you know.
Sure.
As, you know, part of an expo.
Well, continue.
Go ahead. That's all I've got to say.
You know, one of the other big advantages is you have two ice rinks indoor that are within walking distance of TCF. Mariucci and Ritter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, middle of February, both men's and women's Gophers hockey are still going to be playing.
Right.
So they're probably not going to be able to give up the entire thing, but do you think they're going to try to work that into the deal with getting TCF, that they get ice time at one or both or varying?
I don't think they need that. I mean, we're in town and, you know, it's not like they're going to a hostile area that may not have space, but they already practice, you know, where they practice, and do they really need to rent out, you know, Mariucci or Ritter just for a practice? If anything, it would be more likely they'd go up to Roseville here and play on the rink there outdoors.
Where they do their outdoor practice.
Exactly, and practice up there. That makes a lot more sense to me. And I wouldn't be surprised if we end up seeing that, you know. Because they've done it now a couple of years, a few years in a row at least.
With the outdoor practices?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so get them acclimated to the outdoor games, you know.
Right. Yeah, let's do it in January when it's colder. And then, you know, potentially end of February, mid to end of February could be colder.
Although at this rate, it looks like January will be warmer than February possibly.
Right. Well, and see, that's the one thing about talking about going to the game. It makes me waffle whether I even want to go. Is, you know, we just had it this past week, the Red Bull Crashed Ice here.
Yes.
And I think this has been the warmest year we've had for Crashed Ice since it started coming here. Yeah. And I've been to everyone aside from this year, and it has been ass cold. If we have a day like that for the game, it's going to be miserable sitting out there.
Oh, yeah.
Miserable.
30 below.
Miserable. Yeah. Super cold. Yeah. I can't hear the game. I can barely see the game. I paid an arm and a leg. I almost go, hey, maybe I'll just sit at home and watch everyone else freezing in and enjoying the game.
At least if you paid an arm and a leg to get into the game, you won't have to worry about frostbite on those limbs.
Well, you know, if you can't hear the game, that also means you can't hear Pierre.
This is true.
Presuming he's here for this one.
This is true as well.
Might be too cold for him.
With his bald head.
Well, you know, speaking of Pierre, we got a share of him this evening. Today was the 60th NHL All-Star Game, and if you were stupid enough to watch the game like we were, you would have seen nearly 30 goals.
Oh, come on. It was comical.
It was 29 goals total, which actually set a record for most goals in an All-Star Game. Previous was 26. And actually, I looked back, and for any NHL game, exhibition or not, I think this did set the record. You know, we saw lazy face-offs. I mean, it was just like...
I've seen better face-offs in grade school floor hockey.
I mean, it was unbelievable. There was no hits in the whole game.
There was almost a scrum.
There was almost a scrum. But I don't know if
I think it was staged.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you can really call it a scrum when everyone's smiling. And
including Crawford in net.
Right. And it's basically they're doing like, you know, they're...
Get off my goalie.
And doing a little slap ass and, you know, and that's about it, you know. Basically, the whole game, they put in the bare minimal effort in order for it to be considered an actual athletic competition. That was about it.
The goalies were kind of active.
The goalies were.
I mean, you had...
assuming they were stopping shots, you know.
What's his name that tried stopping the shot with a backward somersault?
Carey Price.
Carey Price.
Which was hilarious. That was... I would say that was one of the funnier moments.
He almost stopped it, too. It went off his glove, I think.
He's like, I'm going to give up 20 goals, so I might as well try to make this a little fun for me rather than just acting like a sieve, you know.
Well, and a little bit of fun. That's what you just said right there. I mean, this is... It's the All-Star break, so... You know, these guys do come here. Obviously, they're all competitive. They like to compete. They wouldn't be in the positions that they are without being competitive. And, I mean, it is a time for them to let loose a little bit, too, and just have a little bit of fun, you know?
But is this not basically like the Harlem Globetrotters on ice, then?
No, but it becomes more like a...
That's a skills competition.
It becomes more...
Right.
More like a pickup game. No, it becomes more of like a pickup game at the park of hockey, except for it's a bunch of NHL stars who show up here, and you know everybody's just shooting the puck around, you know, and I mean, it's having a little bit of fun, a little light fun, a little loose. I mean, if you're going to it looking for a super, you know, competition, it's probably not the spot to get it. I mean. I understand,
but do we need an All-Star game?
Yes.
Why?
Because when Crosby doesn't play, and there's 35 other guys out on the ice, I don't have to listen to Pierre talk about them.
Right.
But we could just
get rid of Pierre, and that would negate the whole issue.
So basically, it's either if we have Pierre, yes, have the All-Star game. If we get rid of Pierre, get rid of the All-Star game. They're like a package deal.
Kinda. Not quite that way, though. It's more of like a two-way contract, where if you get down to the AHL, you get paid a little less.
Like a package deal.
I don't know. I think that the All-Star game, I think the break, at least, in the middle of the season is nice for the players. I mean, just like you and I, you know, we go to work and we work and we work and we do. We look forward to, you know, having a little break or a little vacation at, you know, some point. So, you know, maybe this gives some of the guys a little bit of a break, a little vacation.
What do you call summer?
What do I call summer?
No, what do they, what do you call summer for them? They're golfing.
Okay.
Isn't that vacation?
Fair enough. How about teachers?
Vacation.
Okay, you're comparing guys that make millions of dollars and they need 4 days off in the middle of this million-dollar making scheme, and you're comparing them to needing a day off. Because you're overworked and underpaid.
It's not even about the money at that point, really, honestly. I mean, we're talking about...
About their families.
Hey, Latrell Sprewell, his kids are probably still starving, man.
We always come back to Latrell Sprewell.
You know, that kind of brings up a point. These guys making, you know, pretty good dough, and they're giving away a $40,000 car to the MVP. Like, here you go.
Yeah, but that said, I mean, it's a time to be lighthearted. I mean, or you could also think of it as like a company picnic or something like that, where, you know, everybody just comes and has a little bit of fun for once, you know?
Besides, it gives us good fodder and something to do on a Sunday afternoon.
I guess. I guess it's better than talking about a Wild loss. But that's setting the bar awfully low.
you know, the save percentages look similar.
Right. Although, but, you know, it. I honestly could take or leave the All-Star game. I think it's really the cachet of the All-Star game has hurt once they started allowing professionals into the Olympics. Because, you know, every fourth year we don't have an All-Star game.
Yeah.
And I know that,
and it's more competitive watching the Olympics.
It is. And, you know, I know the NHL has tried to spice things up by giving us the player fantasy draft, which is, you know, there are some really great moments from that the other night. Actually, I saw some drunken Ovechkin and Suter Instagram videos, which were just hilarious. You know, talking about
Luongo's tweets that followed up with it.
Go ahead. If Ovi, when you're in the car, you got to sit in the car.
Well, I'm going to do crazy stuff in the car with somebody. With you, right? Oh, yeah.
He's like the Russian Danny Heatley.
Except for he wasn't driving.
Right.
And Suter's still alive.
Oof. But, you know, yeah, we had really funny tweets coming from Luongo.
I'm agreeing with Jive, where it is just a nice time to relax. You get to see a different insight into some of these players. They can kind of unwind. You get to see stuff like that. If you saw a drunk Ovi, and like, when they're in the middle of a playoff run, you know how many people would be absolutely, like, wanting his head?
Oh, yeah. You know, and instead they just joke that his liver didn't show up to the optional practice.
Exactly.
You know? So, you know, that part is fun to see. Honestly, though, they could just get rid of the game, though. I'd rather just see the skills competition and
the alumni game, maybe? Or no, they don't do an alumni game anymore.
I think the game itself is just, the game itself bores me. I don't know what they need to do to make it different.
It's turning into a huge spectacle, though.
I mean, the one thing you get to realize, though, as an NHL fan, is what a league would look like without hits. And it would be terrible. If you couldn't check another player, it would be dreadful.
Well, I'm kind of wondering if the NHL and the NFL didn't come to an agreement to put both of their Pro Bowl game and the All-Star game on the same day just to really piss everyone off. Like, there's nothing on TV today, so we're going to make it even worse.
Right. I saw someone's tweet, and I don't remember who it was. It was like, putting both of those on the same day is giving, you know, the nation sporting blue balls.
Yeah. Were they deflated?
Sporting deflated blue balls.
So, you know, since we're talking about All-Star game, the Wild had one All-Star representative. That was Ryan Suter. And we got to see him, and he scored a goal.
He didn't realize it right away.
I'm a big fan. It's a good show.
He scored a goal, ended up a plus two.
He got an assist also.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's something to be said. Maybe this will turn things around. I don't know. What do you think of his performance? Do you think this will give him a nice little reset that it appears that he needed?
Hey, that's the thing, is a little bit of camaraderie amongst the league. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's real nice when you get together with coworkers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, have a drink or two.
I just figured it out.
Loosen up a little bit and go back to having fun at what you're doing. And I mean, maybe it's a little bit of a reminder to them, you know. Hey, this is, you know, actually a good time. I'm getting paid millions of dollars to have a good time. And I hear you. They get paid a lot, but, you know, they probably get stressed out and stuff too, just like you and me. Now, you know, they may not have the same stress as we do, but hey.
Suter gave himself up. He shouldn't have posted that Instagram video.
That was Ovi that posted it.
Oh, well, I'm thinking what happened. Suter got Ovi drunk to ask him what his secret was to put a puck in a net. I think there was deviant.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Might be a stretch.
Just a little. Oh, boy. I don't know. Do you guys have any other thoughts on the All-Star game while we're at it? Consider this one dead. Yeah. Another All-Star game in the books. Another 30-goal game.
Hold on. Wait for it. Since we didn't have any hits tonight.
That's our one hit of the day.
Yeah.
One
hit wonder.
Or what about this one?
Tucker, competitive violent. That's why you're here.
Not much of that either.
No.
We'll just play our entire soundboard for you now.
It actually kind of works tonight.
Well, I think we should talk about the upcoming games then, since we're done with the All-Star game.
So, yeah, this week, the Wild on Tuesday, they have a three-game Canadian trip with previous old division mates.
Yeah.
Tuesday against the Oilers.
Have we even seen them yet this year?
I don't think we have.
Yeah.
This might be the first round.
Right.
Tuesday at the Oilers, Thursday at Calgary against the Flames, and then next Sunday an early game against the Canucks in Vancouver.
Before the Super Bowl.
The what?
The Superb Owl.
Huh? I have no idea. What are you talking about?
The Superb Owl.
It's like a 3-hour long commercial. You've seen it, right?
Is that the thing surrounding me getting to watch Katy Perry bounce up and down on stage?
That's the 11 minutes of action.
It might only take me 3.
Oh, boy.
Just saying that gave me a sound. Humag is mead.
So I think
we'll get through our entire soundboard here tonight.
And starting with
nope.
Let's get to the game of the week. So last game of the week was Wild at the Red Wings. These two fools decided to pick the Wild on the road. They were proven wrong. As I predicted,
hey, I got room to give.
you got some wiggle room for now.
Jive got the correct amount of goals for the Wild.
No, that'd have been the correct amount of goals for
the Red Wings.
The Red Wings, I had 5.
Yeah. So with that, you know, I'm moving to a point tie with Kenny. We're both at 6. Jive's got 10 points. None of us guessed the goals overall. So with that. Kenny, you're going to decide the game of the week.
Well, from what I see, I'm trying to pick the easiest game that the Wild will win to hopefully make it a little easier decision for all of us, but we'll see how that goes.
Right.
But I'm going to take the Wild at Edmonton against the Oilers with a total of 7 points.
Wow, and I'm also going with the Wild, but I'm going different end for goals. I'm going with 4 total goals. The Wild have had 2 games in the last 4, I think, that ended with a 3-1 game. So I'm going to go with a late empty netter with the Wild winning.
See, I'm looking at the fact that Edmonton's like got 2 points above Buffalo, and look at what they did to Buffalo.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll see, will we not?
We will.
Yeah.
So what does Jive say, though?
Well, you guys all went for the Wild. I'm going to have to follow right along with you, because I haven't gotten where I've gotten by following you guys.
Well, and you're not going to lose any ground, more than likely.
That's right. So I'm going to go with the Wild too. I'm going to go with the 6 goals. I think that the Wild will actually win handily. I'm guessing probably like a 4-2 score, maybe. I think that, you know, probably like you say, we might see an empty netter, you know, towards the end of the game. But I think that the Wild, though the scoreboard might not show it, will definitely dominate the game. So,
all right. Well, I think we've put this nailed this coffin up here. And
I believe so.
Put some nails in the boards for the next outdoor stadium game.
Well, you know.
Well, now that we know this, what are we going to rant about for the next year?
We'll have nothing to complain about.
Well, talk to me in February of next year, and we can complain about how they messed everything up and made it the worst event ever.
Yes.
How's that sound?
Perfect.
The sun shone off Pierre's head and melted the ice.
I couldn't see the puck because Pierre's head was shining in my face.
I guess that means me and Jive can't go.
Ooh, it'll be the laser beams. You guys, I'll sit in between you and just direct your heads.
No, it won't be the laser beams. It'll be headlamps. I think that actually does it now. You know, when I'm not live tweeting Wild Games for Three in the Box, and that's at Three in the Box on Twitter, you can find me, my personal account, that's at Aaron3ITB. And lastly, a blatant plug for my band Pinrot, which you can find at pinrot.com, as well as we're going to be starting to kick off reigniting our old group, GNP, and we're going to be doing some more stuff with that hopefully soon. You can find them at gnphertz.com. Kenny.
And you can follow me on Twitter at RottenK999, mainly retweeting about live audio and sometimes live audio with hockey when you see some fails happen before games. Like this evening. And some other random stupid crap.
Hey, but get his mic.
Jive.
Yeah, you can follow me. I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight. Have a good night, folks.